Well, it is such a privilege to come back and again defend the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. And I love this truth. I appreciate what it has done in my life. And
we just love this truth, love what it's done in our life and how it has changed our life. He asked, why did I ask him a certain question, but then I have no recollection of asking him that question. What I have asked him about repeatedly is to show me the verse where the gifts are for the giving of New Testament law. And he went on and dealt a lot with prophecy and talking about prophecy, and I have no argument with prophecy and its involvement. But where is the verse that talks about tongues? Where is the verse that talks about healing? Where is the verse that talks about miracles? That says now that we've got a complete New Testament, we don't need healings anymore. We don't need miracles anymore. We don't need tongues anymore. Where is any revelation that come out of that? And I submit to you that he doesn't really believe that. If he does believe that, he's going to have to go to the Word of the Lord and find out where everybody has spoken tongues and where they reveal New Testament law. Mary was in the upper room. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spoke with tongues. Where is the book of Mary? Where is the book of the 120? Where is the book of Abacus? Again, I have just asked him to show me where the scriptures teach that the gifts of the Spirit that we are talking about, that he is supposed to be affirming, is no longer in the church, is no longer a part of the church, where they were the revealer of New Testament law. I haven't yet got that verse. And then he goes to Zechariah, and he says, it doesn't mean passing out of the whole earth. Now, we're going to have to decide if it means it or it does not mean it. Does it say it or if it does not say it? And what really does it mean? So, obviously, there are still idols. He said there's not supposed to be any idols in the church. I guess he's alluding to the fact maybe the land is the world. The church is something different. But he said they were going to pass out of the land. Is there no idols around today? Don't we have commandment of 1 John 5:21, beloved, keep yourself from idols? Some folks still have Christmas trees. They ought to know where those idolatries come from. Little children, keep yourself from idols. He warned and he talked about covetousness, which is idolatry. Trying to tell me there's never been a problem in the church with covetousness, which is idolatry. It has passed out of the land. He said we've got no idols. We've got no unclean spirits. We've got no true prophets. But we have false prophets. Well, it is certainly true that we have false prophets. And the book said there must be false teachers among you, that they who are approved might be made manifest, because somebody's going to say no to false doctrine. Somebody's going to say no to false teaching. Somebody's going to say no to man-made theories and ideas and dogmas, and say, give us the Word of God. Tell me, do you really believe there are no unclean spirits, as you said there are, in a land full of homosexuality, pedophilia, every kind of perversion that you can name, a wicked hour, perilous times that the Lord warned would be before the coming of the Lord. Perilous times even for the church. But he said, there are no unclean spirits. I'm going to tell you that I showed you again and again by the Word of God where you had false prophets, you had false idols, false gods in their names, and you had these unclean spirits because the false prophet prophesied by a lying spirit. But he tells us there are no such a thing. We got the false prophets, but we don't have the false spirits. I'm glad that he agreed that the Word was the same. He didn't touch any of those verses that we really dealt with. But he said, I acted as if it was always used a false prophet. That you lied on me. I did not only not just act like that. I said that it was used both instances
for true and false, and that the way in the context you could tell the difference was the idolatry and the spirit. The true prophet had a right spirit, and the living God, and the false prophet had false gods, and a false spirit, an unclean spirit, a lying spirit. And I showed it again and again, and he's going to get up here, ladies and gentlemen, and tell you that I said, and I alluded to, it was always false prophets. And then brings in the verses and the scriptures. We'll talk about Jesus Christ being a prophet. Sure, I believe that. And certainly believe that he is a true prophet. How about Chart 41? Here it is, if you care to look at it. Moses said unto him, Numbers 11:29, "Envious thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets." I told you that's the same word, and I put that in here to specifically show you that the word was used for both true prophets and false prophets, and the way you told the difference, that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. The true prophets had God and the Holy Spirit of God, and the false prophets had the unclean spirits and the idols. I said as much. Don't lie on me, please. He hasn't touched top or bottom of the verses that we've asked for. He jumped back and forth here, and he just always wants to make this run to Zechariah, and always, for whatever reason, comes back to that and wants to bring us in. You know, it really doesn't matter what the time period is that he keeps trying to deal with. If he doesn't have an understanding of when it is itself, and if he's got a false understanding of what the false prophets that's talked about in Zechariah throughout the entire context there is talking about, why keep jumping back to this? But let me just read you. I ask him the question. Since you teach that in that day, Zechariah 13:1, refers to the time period of Christ there, i.e. the first coming of Christ, when did the first advent begin? When did it end? He said it's a time period. We've heard that over and over. And we normally use the phrase, "I don't have an exact year on the beginning or the ending." We've got another answer that he answered Mr. Jason Weatherly. Brother Weatherly, since you teach that tongues, prophecy, and knowledge... Or excuse me, that's the wrong one. Since you teach that in that day refers to the time period of Christ's death, the first coming of Christ, when did the first advent begin? When did it end? His own handwriting, Mr. Donahue said the first coming began at his physical birth and ended at his ascension. I submit to you that he is telling us true prophets were gone out of the land when Jesus Christ ascended. That's what he's contended over and over. What are we going to do with Paul? What are we going to do with Peter? What are we going to do with Abagus? What are we going to do with holy men of God throughout the New Testament that were there, and they were writing our Bible, and they were giving revelation, and the gifts of the Spirit were moving in them? Not just, and he's never gave us the verse or the writing of New Testament law, but the gifts of the Spirit. I give you a whole list of exhortation and healing and comfort, and the list went on and on. Didn't touch top nor bottom of it, but can't give one verse. Well, they were just for the giving of New Testament law. He needs to make up his mind. If he's going to talk so much about a time period, make up his mind what he believes. And certainly, if he still believes what he told Brother Weatherly, that it was at the ascension, he has got a real problem with some folks that we, at least in the apostolic church, believe were true men of God and true prophets of God. But maybe he has got a problem with that. So, what we have shown you and what we've given you, let's give chart number 39. What we've shown you, what we've given you, again and again, 1 Kings 18:40, Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." They took them, Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. Many, many times God cleaned up the land. We're going to talk about time periods. Let's go to a lot of time periods. where God cleaned up the land of false idols and false spirits and false prophets. God has a way of doing that, and revival will come to the church today if men will yield to God, obey the call of God. The gifts of the Spirit will still work. Prophecy will still work. Healing is still in the church. God is still moving by His power. That's that state of affairs. Paul was talking about when that which is perfect is come. Paul was talking about the time he would see face to face, that he would no longer look through a darkened glass, but see all things clearly. Paul was living in a day and a time of gifts of the Spirit moving, power of God moving, dead being raised, devils being cast out, visitation of God, all kinds of miraculous things that's shown us in the Word of the Lord. And Mr. Donahue wants to get up here and say, now the completed New Testament comes, and we come in here and sit down and listen to some uninspired evangelist, some unanointed man try to tell us something without an anointing, without the gift of the Holy Ghost, without the power of God, and we sit here dry and dead and high and dry without a move of God. It seemed like to me the perfect thing would usher in something better, not something lesser. If that's what it meant, the truth is, it's not what it meant. The gifts continue unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. We have answered prayer. We see moves of God. We see miracles. We have revelation. God works in us. And God is coming and going to usher in that perfect kingdom. Woo!
How much time have I got? Thank you. Let's go back to chart 44. Because obviously, Tad hasn't got it yet. Definition, iteration, or continuance, repetition. It shall come to pass that when any shall continue, any of those talked about in verse 2. Those same false prophets talked about in verse 2. I have proved to you emphatically, undeniably, by the Word of God, when you've got false gods and you've got an unclean spirit and you've got a prophet sandwiched in between the middle of it, he is not a man of God. Don't try to put God's prophet in that position. He is a false prophet. That's a shame. We got to spend so much time on this because he can't find any other material or he can't find any other verse to prop up an idea that he wants to prove to us that the gifts of the Spirit are gone out of the land. If he can get the true prophets out of the church, I guess he's talking about now the land's the church. I don't know if the land's the church or the land's the world. Just not real clear what he believes on that. But if he can get the true prophets out of the church, but he's got prophecy out, but he's got a little problem because there's more than just the gift of prophecy, and his message won't float, his proposition won't float, what he's told us won't float, it just won't work. God is coming. He's going to usher in his perfect kingdom. When that which is perfect is come, it will be fulfilled exactly like Paul said that it would. But did you notice, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't touch top or bottom of the lottery. He put his chart back up there, but he didn't touch top or bottom of the lottery. He thought he was acceptable, but then after I really pressed him about it, he didn't touch top or bottom of apples for apples argument when Paul came in, and according to him, the oranges that are not apples, so they can't be the same thing. Paul came in and said that you come behind and no apples waiting for the oranges. Waiting for the coming of the Lord. If it's supposed to be apples for apples, why didn't he say, waiting for the complete New Testament, waiting till they put the last period in the last book of the New Testament, because I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that his proposition is full of holes. We still have the gifts of the Spirit today. He said faith and hope will stop at the second coming. And of course, he's telling us that love is going to continue on. He's trying to prove some points to this, and if he can prove that this stops at the second coming. He didn't give us any scripture really for it, but if that can happen, then this, that which is perfect cannot have anything to do with the second coming, or I guess the ushering in of that perfect kingdom. Give us chart number 11. Now, by the faith, hope, and charity, the greatest, these three, the greatest of these, charity. He's going to tell us that one's going to remain, one's going to endure, the other two. Give me the next chart. Love abides past the second coming because, and he's going to agree with this, charity never fails. Will there be prophecies that shall so on and so forth? And that never failing, not at any time. Give me the next chart. 1 John said, he that loveth knoweth not God. God is love. If God's in eternity, love's going to be there. Give me the next chart. We agree on those things. Love abides past the second coming. But if love's there, guess what else gets to be there? Because 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, charity beareth all things, believes there's your faith, Mr. Donahue, and hopes all things, there's your hope. And if love's there, and Paul and the Bible define love, there's going to be faith there, and there's going to be hope there. Give me the next chart. Faith abides past the second coming because the definition of faith is truth. Faith is conviction of the truthfulness of God. It is said we're going to get to heaven and we're no longer going to believe God's true. Everybody in heaven is going to believe in the truthfulness of God. According to Hebrews 11:6, you've got to have faith to believe that God is. People in heaven are going to believe that God is. You've got to have faith to please Him. People in heaven are going to please Him. Next one. So here's hope. According to my opponent, there will be no hope in heaven. One of the definitions of hope is expectation. The other is confidence. We got no more confidence in heaven. We will no more be confident or no more be assured when we get to eternity. Next chart. Abideth not merely in this life, but the essential permanence of three graces is asserted in their nature. They are eternal. And it's taken from Vincent's Word Studies. Next chart. I got hope. Next chart. Who wants to go? Who wants to go to past heaven? Can I get some volunteers? Past heaven has no belief in the existence of God. No faith. No conviction of the truthfulness of God. No faith. Has no belief in truth itself, because that's what faith is. No one will be able to please God. No one will have any confidence when they get to heaven. I can barely wait to get there. I'm excited about going to past heaven. Hey, I'm excited about going to heaven where there's love and there's faith and there's hope. And I'm going to go there in a church that's full of the Holy Ghost and full of the gifts of the Spirit and obeying the Word of God, that we come behind in no gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If my opponent would just obey one verse that said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, your children, them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I submit God is calling. The Holy Ghost is still being given. With that self-same Spirit comes every gift that there ever was. And if my opponent would just repent, get baptized, answer the call of God, the Holy Ghost is for him. It's for every one of you that's in this house and in this place. I got good news for you. It doesn't have to be dead. It doesn't have to be dull. You don't have to have an experience that doesn't deliver you from uncleanness and from sin and from false teachers. You can have the fullness of what God has got for the church. Woo! God bless you. It took a little while, but I'm feeling real good. We have had a great time in the Holy Ghost and appreciate the opportunity to be here. God bless you.